telling us what we're not allowed to do at Shabbat, but it's constantly busy with giving us rules to allow us to do certain things on Shabbat. What I will call here, Heterei Shabbat. It starts in the Mishnah, at the major part of the end of Masechet Shabbat, from Perek Yud Zayin, from the 17th chapter of Mishnayot Shabbat, until the end of the Masechet, 24, has a whole list of things you're allowed to do on Shabbat. And it goes very much into the seventh parak of Shabbat, where I'm sure many of you are familiar with those principles. Regarding certain milachot, the Gemara limits these milachot, gives some limitations that only within that framework and you're not allowed to perform them. For example, one rule is called Gidulei Karka. These certain milachot, you're not allowed to do them only if it's needed to grow from the earth. But otherwise, you're allowed to perform them. The Gemara brings in regarding the melachah called ne'amer, which within the framework of the fields is after you plow the field, you tie together the shibboleth, and the principle is you're not allowed to gather something together. Use the system of toladot, not allowed to collect the Lego from the floor on the Shabbat afternoon after my kid is in my living room. Not allowed to gather anything together. The Gemara says, you're allowed to do it because it's only Gidulei Karka. The Gemara regarding Borer gives a whole system of Heterim. If you do it la'altar, if you're immediately eat, you do it with your hands, not using a tool. If you take the food out of the psalat, the ochel mitoch, and then you're allowed to do it. You have this constant feeling that the discourse of the sugyot regarding what's asur and Shabbat goes between giving you a set of rules that tells you what not to do, and then giving you some set of rules which tells you what you're allowed to do. When this sense that this is something which is integral to the halachic discussion, it's not an accident, it's not a coincidence, it's imminent, you get the feeling because you see within the literature of Rishonim, they just continue this. And it's not only in the Gemara. He continues to Rishonim, and here some of these principles, which are the Gemara, mentioned by certain melachot, the Rishonim bring it in a broader context regarding more melachot. For example, I mentioned Gidulei Karka only by Kotzer. There are Rishonim that say that, by Na'amir, sorry, there are Rishonim that say that the same is true about Kotzer. Is it Chuvah Trumat Hadeshen? One of the great scholars of the 15th century, Rabbi Sura Lisselmar from Germany, is true also about Tochen. Borer, if I take the idea of the altar, the Rashbok from Spain, 13th, 14th century, has a Tshuvah. The Tochen too is only Asur if it's for later time. But if you do Trinah and immediately you use it, the altar. And you get the sense that Masechet Shabbat has some inner dialogue constantly asking itself what not to do and then what to do. Well, this also includes one of the major rules of Shabbat, which have to deal with the so-called Melechet Machshavet. I mean, one of the rules of Shabbat are that has to be an intentional act. And, for example, the so-called Davar Sheino Mitkaven, the halacha concept that if I have an intention to do one action, and something else, as a result of it, is done too. It's a machloket between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. You're allowed to do it on Shabbat or not. One of the major tools which are used to, I would say, give some of the interim of Shabbat has to do with the relating to our intentions, to Davar Sheino Mitkaven. And this Melechet Machshavet is not limited to any of the melachot. It's a broad rule which applies to all melachot Shabbat. But I'd like to ask ourselves here, try to understand what's the story, what's the subtext, what's behind this constant discourse between Asur and Mutar. And what I would like to share with you, I think, has very big it can be implemented for understanding some contemporary halakhic discussions regarding Shabbat. And hopefully, I think also it will make our Shabbat more meaningful when we understand what's behind the halakhic rulings. And I also think that it's typical of halakhic discourse in general. This is just a very good example. I don't think Shabbat is the only place where this happens. In order to try to understand, I would say, the secret of Shabbat, I think we should start with asking going back to already to the Tanakh and to the early stage of Chazal's literature, in order to understand how the conceptual framework that I described before of Olam Toledot was created, and to try to understand an inner dilemma which is rooted within the system of halachic categories, specifically in this field of Shabbat. We go back to the words of the Torah. The Torah doesn't really tell us what not to do on Shabbat. The Torah says, on the one hand, it's a day of Shabbaton, it's a sabbatical, and on the other hand, the Torah says, lo taseh kol melacha. Now what is a melacha? The Torah doesn't say. There are a few actions which are described in the Torah as being prohibited in Shabbat. What is striking is that almost none of them are included in the list of lamatet melachot. I mean, if we go through a Sefer Shemot on and ask ourselves, what do we know clearly from the Torah you're not allowed to do in Shabbat? So we know from Shemot Tetzayin, we know et asher tofu efu ve asher tavashnu bashelu bishu, we're very familiar with the Shabbat. We know that al yitzei ish bimkomo biyom Shabbat. Then we discover and then we discover also the Mekoshesh Eitzim. Now, Mekoshesh is not one of the Lamatet Melachot. There's a big machloket in the Sifre. What's the Melacha? I mean, it's what we call a Toledah. Now, I would expect that those actions which appear in the Torah should be part of the list, and they're not there. And that's for a very simple reason. Because when we try to ask ourselves, what is the common denominator of all those melachot described in the Torah, they very clearly reflect the life of a community within the desert. Within the desert, you have a place, and what you need is wood to cook. That's the mekoshesh. The havarat esh is involved in cooking too. And all the parashah of the lines, basically what I would say is, when we see within the melachot described in the Torah, they reflect, I would say, the center bone of the human activity within the society described in those parashah of the Torah. And when we go to the list of lamatech melachot, you can notice too, this is not an accidental list. You can see very clearly that this list has groups, and which reflect, I would say, on the one hand, major realms of civilization, and they reflect a society of the time of the Mishnah. Many, I'm sure, are familiar with the Gemara in Shabbat, on Daf Mem Tet, where the Gemara says, Chazal learned all these lametet melachot from the Mishnah. But when you stop for a moment, you pause and ask yourself, is it really possible that they did these 39 melachot in the desert in the time of the, when they built the Mishkan? It's very clear that it wasn't so. And Rishonim point out to it. The most extreme statement that I know is by one of the Gaonim, of High Gaon, who actually said to himself, the Bnei Israel built the Mishkan in the second year after they left Egypt. And very clearly from the Pesukim of the Torah, they dropped all the materials from Egypt. Can you in the desert do Zriyah, Harishah, Kotzer? I mean, doesn't Randir, the Iman? I mean, it's very clear. So yes, he makes an amazing statement, which I find hard for myself to accept it, and I'm glad that Rishonim offered different explanations. He says the Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that Chazal will learn from the Mishkan what the melachot are, so therefore they did all those melachot in order so we should learn from them. Like it's a miracle that they all, but you hear the intention, meaning it seems clear that even though the Gemara says that the melachot were derived from the Mishkan, it seems very clearly that actually they did not do all these lametet melachot in the Mishkan. So what is the meaning or explanation of learning from the Mishkan? So here the Urim, he's one of the Rabbeinu Tam's Talmidim, the Blazer from Metz. He is brought here on the page if everyone wants to read together with me. From line 62 on, he makes the following statement, and that is, I'm reading, line 64, line 62, okay? Rabbi Chanina bar Chama keneged avodat ha-mishkan, and skipping two lines. Ra'u chachamim elu ha-melechot ha-domot, avodah ha-doma, hi nikret melecha, nikhtim melechet avodah lo ta'asu, ve'amrina, elu hen, שהקפידה התורה עליהם, כי לא מסרן הכתוב, אלא לחכמים, ואלו ראויות לקרוא מלאכה. When he says, I'll translate to English, and he says very clearly, when the Gemara says, and Chazal learned from the Mishkan, what you're not allowed to do in Shabbat, doesn't mean that these 39 actions, melachot, were actually done historically in the second year after Yitziat Mitzrayim. It means something else. It's clear that Chachamim, in the time of the Mishnah, are involved in creating a list, in categorizing what not to do on Shabbat. In the words of the Yireim, Lo Masarana Katuv Ela Chachamim. The Chachamim of the time of the Mishnah asked themselves what not to do on Shabbat. The use of the Mishnah was not to learn the details, was to learn the framework, the template. And what is the framework of the Melachot of Shabbat? So here you can see very clearly the way I also separated there, up line 53 on. You can see groups of Melachot. The first group is what Gemara calls Sidura Depat. Zoreh, Horesh, Kotzer, Me'amer, Dash, Zoreh, Boer, Tochel, Merakel, Lach, Rofei. These are all the actions that have to be done in order to eventually get prayer. It starts from the Chavishah, plowing the field, the Zriah, etc., up until the Afiyah. The second one is from Gozer, Zetatzere, Melabno, Melabso, Tovo, Tove, Mesech, Pusei Shtei Batei Nirin, Oreg Shnei Chutin, Potzea Shnei Chutin, Kosher, Matir, Tofer Shtei Tfirot, Korea Manditfor Shtei Tfirot, this is clothing. From the wool, taking off the animal, gozeis, until you wear clothing. The third one, from hunting, hatzad, tzvi, shochto, mafshito, molcho, ma'abed etoro, mochko, chatcho, kotev shtei otiyot, mochek ma'adikto shtei otiyot, this is writing. But these three are the major characteristics of human civilization. It's food. Humans differ from animals by the way they eat. We process our food, we cook it, we bake it. We don't eat raw food from nature, as animals do. The second one is clothing. Animals don't have clothing. The humans, they make their clothing. And the third one here is the ability of humans to rap. It's in the word, in the words of Chazal, it's Melechet HaKtav. The fourth list over here, which has to do with also major components of civilization, does differ from the previous ones that are not a list. Bonet and Soter, humans live in houses, which we build, no in caves. Mechabev and Mavir, which is fire. I'm sure you're all familiar with the mythology about flames and fire. In all human civilization, all technology is based upon fire. And Makel Patish is the ability of humans to create artificial tools to develop the world. So this list of Shabbat is really not a list only 39 actions, but a series of lists which all reflect major parts of human civilization, which are, in the eyes of Chazal, resemble the Melacha, because Melacha is human creativity. And learning from the Mishkan itself was a house built by humans, which somehow resembled, reflected the ability of humans to use technology in order to build a house for God, who puts his Hashra'at Shkinah on humans when they use human wisdom, when they act as humans. And almost all these fields appear within the Mishkan. And the Mishkan was a bonet, that's the most evident. The Mishkan had a very intensive creating of clothing. All the big day kavuna, which are the basis for Gezeret HaTzemer. It's more complicated to find the Mishkan than the other ones. But Mishkan, to some extent, is a resemblance of human wisdom. Here, I don't want to develop it here, because I would like the lecture to focus on something else. But in Second Temple literature, you see a different model of what not to be done in Shabbat. That is to go back to Masa Bereshit. Remember the Kadosh Baruch Hu did it. Sheshit Yemei Bereshit, you don't do. And in that way, they, for example, Saint Kuru Vu is mentioned in Bereshit, so they said they're not allowed to have relationships with a couple on a Friday night, because it's Melechet Yetzirah. When Chazal overemphasized the importance of Tashmish HaMitan Shabbat, they had a different opinion. They did not learn Melechot Shabbat from Bereshit, they learned it from Shemot, from the Mishkan. I think they also had a different opinion about relations. It's not only to have children, it's also an act of love. But in any case, it would seem very clear that the Lamentet Melachot are not just the historical list because of the past. Since second year after Yitzhak and Tiraim, our fathers, when they built the Mishkan, they did all these actions, and therefore we don't do them. It's more a prototype of civilization, of human creativity, and it really resembles the times of Chazal much more than the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this statement you can see in the Gemara too. The Gemara sensed it. For example, in the list of Melachot Shabbat, it appears Ofet, baking. But if I go back to Mishkan and I ask myself, what did they do in Mishkan? So the Gemara in Shabbat says, in Mishkan, you learned Ofet from Bishul Samumanim. Today, when you want to buy a paint, you go to the store and buy a tambour and now you can paint them. And they had a process to paint themselves, they used to cook. And so why does it say Ofer and not Mevashel? So the Gemara says, Tamadida. So during the Pachaka, meaning we're not bringing historical lists. Bishul and Afiyah is a similar principle, but the truth is that we're resembling here the so-called Sidur of the Pat. And many have pointed out that we can fill also the list of these melachot not only within the framework of Shabbat, but in other places in Chazal's literature. One of them, you can see the resemblance to Shabbat and see that these lists in their eyes resemble, as I mentioned before, the actions humans have to do in order to achieve their goals as human civilization, and that's Tosefta and Shabbat. Ben Zoma, Ksheva, Ochlosim, Baharabait. It's a very problematic statement, you should know. I mean, Ben Zoma was one of the great sages, and he would see the large people, population, Harabait. Well, I'm saying it's not so simple about the statement. He as the Talmid Chacham says, those who are not Talmidei Chachamim, why are they around? Why are they in the world? In order to be Mishamei Shmir. Now, in the Rambam, there's such a statement, an introduction to Perusha Mishnah, and that itself is worth the whole discussion. And now look what he said. Kami Yaga, Dama Rishon, Velo Ta'am, Lugma Achad, Ad Sheh. Now, Dama Rishon, we had no other humans to be involved in civilization until he could give himself his own need. Look how much effort he had to put into it. Ache zara, chavash, katzar, amar, dash, zara, barar, tacham, yuki, lash, ba'achar, ha'kak, ha'char. Meaning, Adam HaRishon had to do the whole list, but look at me. I go in the morning to the supermarket, I buy a loaf of bread, and I just eat breakfast, and I run to the Gemara. Thank you, angel, for doing the work for me. Same thing continues. Kama yaga Adam HaRishon, lo levash chaluk, until Adam HaRishon made his clothing. On his first suit, he had a very nice tailor, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him. But before that, he wasn't too successful. He used it in Alei Tehillah, right? But look how much he had to work. Gazaz li ben li pei sabat tava harav hagat lavash v'ani, I go to one of the clothing stores. V'ani omei b'shachavim, v'tzak alo l'panay. When you see how these lists are here in the words of Ben Zoma, meaning they reflect way the time of Chazal, the Tananim saw the major fields of human activity. This is one introduction. That the Melachot of Shabbat, the list of Lamentet, are not a given list from the past. They are formulated by Chazal, reflecting their times, and touching major parts of human activity, which I think that's appropriate for and proper for the so-called melacha. But we have to explore is another vector in the world of Chazal, and that is that the idea of kol adot does not appear at all in Tanaitic literature. The concept I mentioned before of Toledot, which portrays the Avot as reflecting principles and learning from them, the whole system of what not to do on Shabbat, you have to know it does not appear at all in the literature of Tanaim. And it's very evident that we learn this from Yov. It's a concept formulated by the Amoraim. For example, I can show you here the phrase Av appears in the Mishnah three times. By Avot Nizikim in the field of damages, Baba Kama. By Shabbat, Arvaim, Shloshim Bekesha, Avot Melachot. And by Tuma, Avot Atuma. Now, the Gemara Baba Kama here says, the brother here from 983 on, Midiktani Avot Michlal Deika Toledot. In very simple words, the Toledot are not mentioned in the Mishnah. The Gemara is telling us that Avot have Toledot. Look at the same thing as evident in Yerushalmi and Shabbat. Kohen detina Avot, yesh lehem Toledot. If you read the Yerushalmi, you see the exact same thing. The Moraim are making such a statement, but in Tanaim, the concept does not exist. And it would seem that when the Tanaim talk about Avot, they do not necessarily think of them as fathers. They think of them more as types. When you go to early Jewish halachic literature, Second Temple writings, it would seem they did not have a clear conceptual system of how to decide what you're not allowed to do in Shabbat. It's a very large list of things which I did not do. I delivered here Shiur of Tkiyat Shofar b'Shabbat, I don't know if you remember. One of the examples that we discussed during the Shiur was that by the categorical system of the Bavli, where I quoted in Masechet Rosh Hashanah Daf Kaftet, Tkiyat Shofar is not one of the melachot. In the words of Shmuel, Chokmahi Veina Melacha. But it would seem from Eretz Yisrael sources that they thought that Tkiyat Shofar was one of the melachot. Many of the actions mentioned in Mishnah and Beitzah, the fifth parak, not to do on Shabbat, not to write, not to do business, etc., which in our eyes are the Bavli explained them as only being Ibn Rabbanan, would seem in their Eretz Yisrael sources as being primitive from the Torah. Meaning, when you go back to early sources and see, did they have some system? Some conceptual system to give them the answer, what's a melacha? It seems they were more intuitive. Using today's words, whatever you go to work to do, you go to work, that's a melacha. But to say exactly what's the conceptual system, apparently they lacked it. And you can follow in the Tanakh literature, they're building, conceptualizing the laws of Shabbat. Yitzhak Dov Gilad wrote a very nice article on describing this. You can see in the times of Rabbi Akiva, the Tanaim don't talk about Toledot, they talk about the so-called Avot Me'ein Avichad. I mean, they talk about families of Avot, but they don't talk about Toledot. The Toledot are formulated by the Amoraim, and the truth is that the formulation, on one hand, gave a system, as I started the lecture, how to give us the answer what you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. But the truth is, it totally changed the nature of the Mishnah, the Lamatek Melachot. And it also created some new problems. And the Gemara was aware of all of that. What I described to you before is, the Mishnah gave a list of all the actions you have to do in order to bake bread, in order to have clothing, in order to be able to write. But in the eyes of the Gemara, they are not actions, they are principles. Now, when you look back at the list of the Sidur and the Pat, three of them seem to have the same principle. And the Gemara says it. The Gemara asks about Zorer, Borer, and Menaked. All three of them, I'll explain what they are, they all seem to have the same principle, separating two things. And the Gemara says, why three times the same halakhic principle? And the clear answer is that when the Mishnah wrote it, the Mishnah did not write it as a halakhic principle, but wrote it as a describing the process of Sidur the Pot. Now, three times during the process of Sidur the Pot, the same principle is implemented by different actions, the different stages of the Sidur the Pot. What is Zorah? After you plow the wheat, you want to separate the, I'll put it in English, okay? I mean, the gival from the garayin, you'll help me. The seed from the
chaff.
Thank you, okay. Thank you. From the chaff. So what do? You do Zorah, you put it in the wind, and since the chaff is lighter, so it goes away in the wind, but it's still dirty, right? So therefore, second time, what do you have to do? You take a Spring? Okay, enafa, okay? We can speak Hebrew in Yerushalayim, right? Enafa, right? What do? We clean it more after. Then after you make it into flour, again you clean it. You sift it again, meaning three times in order to achieve wheat which is clean, you have to do the same principle. So in the Mishnah, the reason it's brought three times, because the Mishnah doesn't bring a list of principles. It brings it as a list of Sidur and the Pot. And at three different stages, the same principle was implemented. But when it turns into a world of principles, it really seems that it should only be said once. And that's the question of the Gemara. And the Gemara's answer, to some extent, is very close to what I described to you. It could be explained in that way. Because the Gemara says, Abaye Barabba Namri Talbaru, in other words, we can bring the same principle three times if it was done three times in the Mishkan. Or in my words, if it was done three times during Sidur of the Pot. Because the list is not necessarily only a list of halachic principles, but it's a list of acts which are done during the process of Sidur of the Pot. So till now, some general background, which I tried to share with you. A lot of what I said is written here in that article of Gilat. And some thoughts about how this halakhic system was formulated. But it would seem, when we reach this point, that now we have the clear answer to what we're allowed to do in Shabbat and whatnot. And in that shiur on Rosh Hashanah, Shachal Shabbat, what I tried to share with you there was that perhaps some actions which were considered not prohibited on Shabbat, did not fit the new conceptual system, and therefore they had to be redefined. Many of them became Yisurim D'Rabbanan, meaning since it was accepted that you are prohibited from performing that on Shabbat, but conceptually they did not fit the new system, so they had to be re-explained and reinterpreted. But still it would seem that we have the answer, the system of how to implement the laws of Shabbat. When you read the Gemara, you can see very clearly that the story did not end here, it just began a new story. And that is that it would seem, from a few Gemaraot, that since the system described here, this conceptual system, is trying to answer the simple question of what is the Melachan Shabbat, it doesn't exactly match, doesn't answer the question I want to give an answer to. Meaning, on the one hand, sometimes it passed too much. And conceptually it was included in the system, but it was clear to everybody that you're allowed to do it on Shabbat. And that's what I discussed with you before, all those hentai, where did they come from? So let's take this Gidul Nekarim as an example. In the field, within the framework of Sidur the Pot, everybody realizes that the Amer is in the Lacha. It becomes a melacha for a simple reason, because it's not judged alone. I don't only check the principle of gathering things together, it's part of a process which eventually creates pot. But when I leave the framework of the field, and all I do is be more without all the rest of Sidur the Pot, what's the melacha about it? But to clean the floor, to sweep the floor is not there. Doesn't make any sense. Only Giduli Kark, in other words, only in the framework of the Sidur of the Pot. Let's go to the Eterim I mentioned before about Borer, Tochen. They come from the same place. Everybody realizes that Borer within the framework of Sidur of the Pot is in the Melacha. You sit in the field, and now you're busy in cleaning the wheat, the seeds, because you want to make out of it flour. But if I take the halakhic categorical system of avot v'toladot, I learn a new principle. Whenever you separate two things, it's a melacha shabbat. Now, you really think when I eat my fish on Shabbat, when I eat my chicken and I take apart the bone from the meat, you really think that's a melacha? Of course not. Let's take tochen, it's even a better example. We all realize that when you go to the mill and you grind the wheat. I said it, okay. Can you grind the wheat? That's melacha. When you cut salad and you want to eat salad, it's the same principle. You take something big and cut it into little pieces. But that's a melacha. So we have a categorical system, but it's like a gene, meaning it's too big. It's too much. So what are all these heterim aiming at, focusing at? To limit the halakha conceptual system to stay within the boundaries of its natural place. Meaning we have to distinguish between two actions who have the same principle. Meaning conceptually they are the same. But within the framework which they are done, one is a melacha and one isn't. Heter Shabbat. That's on the one hand. But it would seem from an amazing Gemara that the opposite happened too. I mean, there are certain melachot or actions done on Shabbat which would seem to be melachot, but conceptually they're not included in the Lamatet melachot. This is a beautiful Gemara in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Tzadihei, from line 100 on, where the Gemara takes us to an ignored place in the concepts of the Mishnah, but a central one within human life and civilization, and that is from the field to the refit. Okay? Cheeses, milking on Shabbat, everything has to do with the animals. If some of you have been in kibbutzim, you know how much the refit is a major part of their economy, how much you have to be involved there. And the Maharaj says the following, Tanu Rabbanan, if you make cheeses on Shabbat, you milk a cow on Shabbat. So the Mishnah says, the Brachah says, Chayav Chatat. That the Gemara brings a beautiful story. Of Nachman Bal Gurya, Ikla Menaharga. Ba'amine, they asked him, Choleg, Mishumai Mechayav. So he gave a really brilliant answer. Nobody answered that? Amarlu, Mishum Choleg. Very brilliant, man. Mechabetz mishum ma mechayev. Amalu mishum mechabetz. Look how brilliant he is about megaben. Megaben mishum ma chayav. Amalu mishum megaben. So they looked at him and they said, tell me, what yeshiva did you learn? Yeshiva, when you're asked a question, mishum ma, you're supposed to give a concept. Right? What are you telling us? Megaben is megaben, you know. Who is your teacher? Somebody who wasn't a rabbi, who was just busy, you know, being out in the fields. So he asked them, you teach me. Atah shayel b'midrasha. Amulei, cholev chayav mishum mefarek, mechabetz chayav mishum borer, megaben chayav mishum boner. As we say in Yiddish, they are ken learning. That's a good halachic answer. When you ask us, what happened in this strange story? It's very simple what happened. When they asked him, why not to be a megaben, why not to milk a cow, you know what he told them? For the same reason that you don't do any other melachot on Shabbat, it's a melacha. What, you don't think that milking a cow is a melacha? That's when the Torah said, lot tasek kol melacha, it meant that you're allowed to milk a cow, meaning the Torah, it should have been a melacha from itself. So mecholed mishum choled, megaben mishum megaben, chabetz mishum chabetz. What they told them is that once we have the Mishnah with a list of lamatet, and once we have the system of toladot, the only way to declare a certain act of Shabbat that it's a melacha is if you're able to include it within the framework of the categorical system, the conceptual system of lamatet melachot. And therefore, if you want to know why Megaben is Asur and Shabbat, you have to make it a Toladah of one of the Avot Melacha in the list. Megaben chayav mishum boneh. You want mechabeitz not to be allowed on Shabbat. You have to make it into a tolada of one of the avon malacha. Mechabeitz chayav mishum boneh. What's overwhelming in that mara is what happened to choleh. Because the mara, they told him choleh chayav mishum mechabeitz. It's only one problem. Mechabeitz doesn't appear in the non-tet malacha too. So what did they want from him, you know? It's a great question. You know, you should know that what Mefarek is, there are four opinions of Rishonim. I mean, nobody really knows what it is. But I think very clearly this is what this Gemara is telling us. Meaning, if Abba, Rav Nachman Bar Gurya, I'm sorry, thought we're able to categorize ourselves, we are able to declare certain actions that seem to us evidently being a melacha as melachot, they told him you're not allowed to do that, on the one hand. And since naturally they're not included in the Lamedet Melachot, you need a great imagination to think that Megaben is Boneh. No, they really did. But what they're basically telling you is, use your imagination. Now when you use your imagination, you have to realize that it's not clear evidently that you should have reached that conclusion. And therefore, if I go back to the beginning of our analysis, you would see very clearly that they, on one hand, decided, or they knew Megaben is a Melachan Shabbat, not because they said in the Beit Midrash, and they reached a great conclusion that it's Boneh, and then they said, therefore, don't do it, but it was the opposite. You know Megaben is a Melachan, but since conceptually, it cannot anymore be independently a Melachan, because the list is only 39, so then they used their imagination to make it into a Toledah. And this story, I think, is mentioned clearly in a Yerushalmi, which I think has the whole story. The Yerushalmi in Masechet Shabbat tells us the following. I'll tell you the previous line of Yerushalmi too. I mentioned to you before that the Toledot are not mentioned in the Mishnah. Yerushalmi says that your ability to conceptualize, to categorize, has to do with how much effort and time you put into it. And the more you put effort into it, the more you conceptualize. And you bring the names of some Amoraim who learned Perek Lavadol, the seventh Perek in Shabbat, for 6 months. And for each Av Melacha, they found six Toledot. Then Yerushalmi brings the following story. Yochan Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Avdun Havoy Bahadar Pirka, Flat Shini Pluk. Rav Yochanan and Rav Lakish, two great sages of the Yerushalmi, learned Perikal Gadol for 3.5 years, which is 42 months. Doesn't exactly match what the Yerushalmi is about to say, but I can't imagine myself in yeshiva learning with my students anything for 3.5 years. It all collapsed. You switch a masecht every zman on yeshiva. But they learned for 3.5 years Masechet Shabbat, the Perek Lavadol. Look what Yerushalmi says. Apku minei, avba'im chaser achat toladot al kol chanda v'chada. For each av melacha they found 39 toladot. And then Yerushalmi says the following. Ma de'ashkechon mismoch samchim. Whatever they knew where to place him, so they did it. Meaning whatever was clearly belonged, let's say, to Ofer, they made it a Toledah of Ofer. Whatever clearly was a Toledah of Gozes, they made it Gozes. But, ha, the lo ashkechon mismuch, whatever they did not know clearly to which Av it belonged, avdinu mishum makere patish. They had one melacha called makere patish. I'm trying to explain to you why that of all melachot. But they say, he's the shtiblach. Everybody who you don't know where he belongs to goes to Makir Patish. And when you read this Yerushalmi, it's perplexing. Because if Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish had toladot, the lo ashkechon mismach, which they did not know to which Abba belonged, what should they have said? They thought it's mutar Shabbat. Why not do it on Shabbat? It doesn't belong to anybody. What it seems here is that what Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish did is not learn the avot and ask myself, can I now imagine, can I categorize toladot? Because if that was so, it's not possible that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish could reach the conclusion that there's somebody you don't know whose family is. They did the opposite. They looked at contemporary life and they asked themselves act after act after. is this melacha or not a melacha? And when they decided it's a melacha, then they went to the list of the lametet melachot and asked themselves, to which av does he belong? And some was clear to which they belonged, so they put them there. Some needed a little more imagination, so they, like the Gemara and the Gaben, they put it there too. Some, even after all the imagination, they didn't know where to put it. They made it makel patish. But we see very clearly that when Yerushalmi says that Apkud Mineh Arba'in Chaser Achat Toladot, it's not that they learned the Avok, they conceptualized, and then they found their Toladot. No, they looked at contemporary life, and then they attached them to the different Avot. Which I think very clearly reflects the idea which I'm trying to develop here together with you. That Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, I would say, intuitively had an idea about how to relate to different actions within their society. Is it a melacha or not? What they were trying really to do is to include it later, after their intuitive decision, within the framework of halachic concepts. And the reason they went to Makel Patish, I think, is very simple. You have to understand what is Makel Patish. This is one of the strangest avot melacha which exists. Mostly because most avot melacha have a certain result they do. They change something, they create it. But Makel Patish, it seems very clearly, you ever learn as the 12th chapter of Masechet Shabbat, take a hammer, and you hit on something, but it doesn't change anything. The Mishnah describes you banging on something which you're not trying to change. In the Tosefta, it would seem the Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that you have the sadam, meaning what you usually bang on. You don't put a coin or something, you bang on it. You just bang directly on the sadam. So what do you do? Nothing. So what's the av? Everybody's familiar with the Amorai conceptualization. There's Gmar Melacha. In the same way as when the orchestra plays, the conductor at the end like moves his hands, so like the word shift here, then like he bangs on it, you know. But still, you have to understand what is this? And yes, please, Rabbi Gardner.
Doesn't the term
"Ashtu Mulei" derive from the "Av"? It would. We read it in a sentence. Meaning, how is it possible if they derive from the "Av"? How is it possible to reach a case where they don't know who the "Av" is? I mean, it's not possible. It has to be the opposite. They were busy learning the concepts of Shabbat and looking at contemporary life and matching them. That's what they were doing. It's not that they only conceptualized and then went to life. They looked at life and had their own intuitive understanding of it's a melacha or not. But now, why Makel Patish? As I mentioned before, it's a very strange melacha. I would like to suggest, I remember the surprise I had when I realized it, that what is the melacha makel patish? You have to start believing the words. The melacha is makel patish. To use a hammer. Now, what does that mean? I think it's very simple. The hammer here resembles melechet umah. It resembles tools which have to be used by somebody who is a professional. I would say today's words, when the world became more professional, things that you invite, you ask a handyman to come to your house. He comes with a toolbox. You call the plumber, he comes with a toolbox. You call the electrician, he comes with a toolbox. You call the photographer, he comes with a toolbox, right? Meaning, the makel patish means the acts which are done using tools. That's a melacha. That's a professional thing. In other words, unlike most melachot, which are part of, as I mentioned before, series. It's a series of certain actions because I'm interested in the goal. Sidur of the Pat's goal is a loaf of bread. Sidur of the Beggar's goal is a suit. Sidur of the Ktav, the goal is cloth you can write on. That's the goal. And Makel Patish, it's a different halacha category. It resembles a professional action, which is that. And that's a melacha. And therefore, whatever we know is a melacha, even though we don't know what series it belongs to, it becomes Makel Patish. And I would like to suggest that this is what I would say is beyond the difficulty to conceptualize all the world of Masechet Shabbat. I learned Masechet Shabbat with my father 1 year. It's 23 years ago. And I remember his difficulties, or even say Yisur, to conceptualize the whole system of Masechet Shabbat. Because Masechet Shabbat is not only a world of concepts. Masechet Shabbat has always a look at contemporary life and asking yourself constantly, on the one hand, what's a melacha? On the other hand, asking yourself, does it match or fit the conceptual legal system which has to include it? And many of the interim are not rooted in conceptual thought, but in functional thought. In the process I described before, it's true that the center bone of the decision what not to do on Shabbat comes from the conceptual system of Avot u'Toladot. But as I mentioned before, on the one hand, the system of Toladot makes things which is clear are not a melacha asura in Shabbat, and you don't enter in. On the other hand, things which should not be allowed to be done in Shabbat, they do not know to cover all of them. And therefore we need a constant, I would say, supplementary system, which is not conceptual. You don't press a button, the concept tells you what to do. But you have to be constantly involved in meeting them together. I mean, if my grandfather, the Rav, described the halachic man, how you learn concepts and then you just implement them to reality, I think that the story of Melachot Shabbat tells a totally different story. You're in constant dual view. You look at life, practical, and you look at the concepts, and they don't always match. And you have to be a matchmaker. When the God of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, suggested all this, a very non-conceptual approach to Hilchot Shabbat, in a tshuva he has on electricity and Shabbat. And here, I would like to touch a little electricity, because Anisha's approach to electricity, and read to you some of the words of Rav Shlomo Zalman, which to some extent I think the idea which I tried to explain here are all included as words. And many have pointed out that Chazon Ish declared electricity as boneh. It was like a decision of Chazon Ish that I have to declare electricity as something prohibited in Shabbat. When electricity started, they didn't call it electricity, Shabbat. It was called a light bulb. And that's the first thing people saw. And therefore people started thinking of it as an halachic concept, as mavir, as madlik. And therefore you should know, there are many poskim who thought you're allowed to light, to turn a light on a Yom Tov. From what I was told, the Rav, until the 50s thought so, I heard the Rav Uziel used to turn electricity light on Shabbat. On Yom Tov, sorry. Forgive me, Rav Uziel, on Yom Tov. That was the Pesach, yeah, because they thought it's Mavir. Until the Chazon Ish came and declared as Boneh. You know, as Boneh, great Chidush, which made me Sur Doraita, and it also Asur in Yom Tov too. And you read the Chu of the Chazon Ish, and this I think is the method you have to use when you ask yourself, did you just read the sources and automatically see the sources tell you not to do it, or did he use his creativity in order to include it? I mean, did he have a previous approach? I mean, did he decide, I don't want electricity to be used on Shabbat? I think that the way to check it is, check in his writing, do the sources, when you read them in simple reading, to what conclusion would they bring you? Or are you making an effort to explain them in a certain way? Whoever reads the Chazon Ish in Hilchot Shabbat, Siman Nun, sees very clearly that he always suggests a possible alternative reading of the sources. Meaning reading the sources alone would not derive you to the conclusion that electricity is boneh. The Chazon Ish used his imagination, he decided that it should be so, and the reason is very simple. I think the Chazon Ish realized, I'm talking about the 40s and early 50s, I don't know when he wrote it. He died in 1953, his yard site was last week. He died on Tetvav Bar Cheshvan, Tafshi Yudal. Tafshi Tetvav, I think, in 54. And the Chazon Ish realized that in a world which is all based upon electricity, if electricity, which was not known to Chazal, will not be prohibited in Shabbat, there will be no more difference between Shabbat and Chol. say it a different way. How many of us in our daily life perform actually one of the lamatet melachot? Almost none of them. At least I have a garden, so like some of them I can do, but in your daily life, does lamatet melachot really give you the answer of what's a melacha of Shabbat? To my great surprise, I remember I was like stunned when I discovered the list of lamatet melachot does not appear in Shulchan Aruch even once, because it's not relevant anymore. What does appear in Shulchan Aruch? A lot of simanim on some central level of melachot, like bishul, that's still central melacha. Tochein is still central. And there are some simanim about toladot. Shimim is all toladot. We match toladot. In other words, the same way Chazal, as I described before, did get a list of actions from historically given from Moshe Rabbeinu. But they categorized, upon looking at their society, defining what are central actions which can be called melacha. Today, in our time, you don't conceptualize from the beginning. You have to be within the framework of the halakhic concepts which are already given to us, which exist. But you still are in the same gesture as Chazal. You have to look at contemporary society and ask yourself, what is a melacha and what isn't? And Chazon Ish realized, rightfully so, that if he will declare electricity as permitted to be done on Shabbat, there's no difference between them. And therefore he declared it. He was almost like Rav Nachman Bar Guria. If I was a fly on the wall when he wrote the Tshuva, one was convinced the Chazon Ish would have told us, Chashmal Mishum Mai Mechayim, I think he would have answered, Mishum Chashmal. That's what he would say. But since Rav Nachman Bar Guria was told, Rabach Katzul Kami Ba'ad Mahava, since it's all we know, the Chazon Ish was God on the door. So the Chazon Ish, just like the answer Rav Nachman Bar Guria was giving, he gave a very similar answer. The Chazon Ish said, Mishum Boneh. Megabez Mishum Boneh, believe me, Chashmal could be Mishum Boneh too. If I was a fly on the wall, I would have said to him, Rabbeinu, maybe suggest based upon the Yerushalmi that it's Makeh V'Fatish, maybe. That's the Shtiblach of Melachot Shabbat. And I think that historically he made the right decision. It even matches, I would say, the inner discourse of Melachot Shabbat. This is the imminent subtext discourse, which is continuously... When it follows on Merbach, opposed the Chazon Ish ruling, on the one hand, he even wrote him a few letters, and the correspondence is published in Rav Shlomo Zalman's book Minchat Shlomo. And on the other hand, I think he wasn't too upset that the Chazon Ish declared so, accepting his authority. So in other words, Rav Shlomo Zalman accepted as an issur de Rabbanan, a takana of the Chazon Ish. But in one of those letters, Rav Shlomo Zalman, when he tries to oppose to it, he gives a very different, I would say, description of the inner system of Melachot Shabbat, which is, I think, to some extent, can summarize what we said in the shiur earlier. The Chazon Ish, it's from line 121, says the following: Gam Choshvani, I think, V'kmo shemutar l'adiach keilim b'Shabbat, v'chein ha'mechabes k'suto b'Shabbat, v'sochet mimenu ot ha'mayim u'mofle keilav b'roshu, inu chashir k'borer. He wants to know why washing the dishes is not boring. In other words, how do I know what's a toladah, what up? I mean, how do you decide it? I mean, basically what he's saying is, I have no difficulty going to daily actions done by people and making it a toladah of something. I'm repeating, if Megabeh can be boneh, I can do anything, you shouldn't anything. I mean, halachic thought is very imaginative, very creative. So, when do you decide to do it and what not? How do you know? Well, I described to you before my father's Yisurin. How do you conceptualize the system of Shabbat? I mean, it's real crystal clear concepts. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says the following. It's like amazing. V'ayinu do'il hu regilim tadir l'lachlech u'l'adiyach eze kavoy b'shem borer ela k'minakek elav uvgadav. V'chein, he continues. I'm skipping a little. It's line 127. V'chein ha'shover etz ocheres lo chashiv kekorea. Why? Kevan shehu nikra shover v'lo korea. Hare chazinan she'af b'melachot doraita azlinan bata shma. וכיוון שכן נראה לפי עניות דעתי, דבר דינמי שפתיחת מעגל וסגירה נקראת רק בשם שימוש לעניין קוראים כבר בשם בני אדם בשם בונה וסופר. The principle the Chazanish gives is a very balbatish principle, functional, not conceptual. He says your decision, how to categorize a certain action on Shabbat is, look what people describe it, how they call it. Lashon bnei adam, balbatish. In other words, I never saw anybody when he washes the dishes, he says, I'm borrowing out the dirt from the plague. So it's not borrow, even though Lamdin could have reached that stupid conclusion. And he says, I never saw anybody turning the light on and saying, I'm building now an electric circuit. So therefore, it's not bonin. I mean, the Chazon Ish says, Lashon Bnei Adam, or my words before, what Shlomo Zalman started saying. Lashon Bnei Adam means, you don't only conceptualize it, you have to look at reality with clear eyes and use your so-called common sense, which is something which is good to retain. And using your common sense, you have to realize that some things are milacha, some are not. In other words, daily actions as washing the dishes, which is not, it's nothing to do with going to work or milacha. That's not a milacha, even though conceptually maybe somebody very brilliant could make it part of borer. And turning the light on is a daily action, meaning you're not creative, you're not, what are you doing? Just turning a switch on. And what Rav Shlomo Zalman is really portraying here is a total different understanding of Shabbat. Don't view it only in conceptualized. We have to realize, I'm saying, unlike the description of Achmed, it's not that the pure concepts are just, they create the world of Shabbat and they're implemented, but the world of Shabbat is created within the realm of life. And I would just like to add on that Rav Shlomo did accept the Chazon Ish's ruling, because I think he did realize that the Chazon Ish was right on his general attitude regarding electricity. But here continue, and I mentioned before, this is like an imminent process of Melachot Shabbat. The process that you aser and then you give a heter continued also with electricity. And Rav Shlomo Zalman was a major player in that field. Because on one hand, the Chazon Ish realized you have to prohibit electricity because all life is based upon it. If I will not declare electricity as a toladah, so Shabbat will disappear. There will be no meaning for Shabbat in the modern world. Lamatet Melachot doesn't match, doesn't fit in modern society, urban society. On the other hand, if all life is based upon electricity, and electricity is prohibited in Shabbat, so you can't live daily life in Shabbat too. The same dilemma as tochei, as cutting salad. In other words, if electricity is prohibited in Shabbat, I can't open my refrigerator. So what do the halachic discourse have to do with electricity? The same exact act. It had to declare opening refrigerators as allowed. And what was the system of Shlomo Zalman used? As I mentioned before, davar sheino mitkaven. So this is the, I would say, the center bone of the Melachot Shabbat, which means that when you are involved in Shabbat, I would say that the Gdolei Halacha are constantly have their view to tradition, to halachic concepts, to the past. On the other hand, they are also have an open eye to current times, to contemporary society. And this is a system which also, I think, it retains the vitality of halacha, makes it relevant. Or in other words, if we want to have a meaningful Shabbat, which will not only take certain actions, say do it or not, but we would like to make a meaningful Shabbat, we need the total and constant involvement of the Gdolei Torah in taking life immediately halacha. And thank you very much. Good evening.